Hi, I'm Scott Stanfield with Vertigo, and I'm going to show you how to use your custom stored procedures with Link. If you've been following along in this series of videos, I don't know if I ever pointed this out, but they're pretty much a ripoff of Scott Guthrie's blog. Even though we are on Part 8, this reflects Part 7, so if you want to follow along, you can look at his blog, but we thought it might be good for you to see how this works without touching the keyboard. So you can watch this video, and one thing you'll notice if you've been following along throughout this whole series is that we've used pretty much the same Northwind database. These tables we've dragged onto this surface before, and by doing that, we're constructing the ORM model essentially to create its own set of SQL statements, select, insert, update, delete, to modify the database. So what we want to do is build a simple test page to do an insert and an update, and then we will replace the regular SQL logic that thing generates with our own custom stored procedures. So I've go ahead and written some code ahead of time just to help this out. We have some helper code here. We kind of covered this concept earlier of putting business logic in a special file. We have a little bit of code that runs before the phone number changes on the customer object, just to show you that we're going to execute some custom code here. And it's doing just some simple regex against kind of a US-centric phone number. We have a validate for the order. If the required date is less than the order date, then we want to kick that thing out. And finally, we have a helper for the Northwind data context itself, where we can call simply get customer, return a customer ID. The reason I'm showing you this helper code is that when we make the switch to stored procedures, all this stuff still works just fine. This code stays as is. So let's start to flesh out the page. In my HTML, we have two buttons, insert and update. There we go. Update and insert, and finally just update. And I'll explain the reason to have that button in just a second. We have two grids. We'll fill this one with the customer of interest, and this one down here will have the customer's orders. So let's go look at the code for that. I want to fill in the code for, whoops, let's go for that. I want to fill in the code for, actually, this should work right now without code. Let me bring it up. Notice I already wrote a couple things here where we fill the grid with the customer and the customer's orders. So I'll press F5 to run that. Great. So looks fine. This is the default Aufke customer. It's the first customer in the database. Maria Anders is her name. We're going to change this name, and we're going to change the phone number, and we're going to add a new order to the system. So notice the last order was 1998. This is 2007. Boy, this database has been around for almost a decade. We're going to write the code to fill in this click right now. So let's find that. So that's the update and insert button click. Now, this code, again, we've done this a million times. The Northwind data context will create a new instance to that. But I will use my little helper method that I just showed you, dbgetCustomer. GetCustomer, and that requires us to pass a string for the customer ID. In this case, I'll just hard code it for Aufke. Aufke. Okay. And then once we have that, let's change the contact name to something else like Emily Haynes, and we'll change the phone number to my phone number. And finally, let's create a new order object. New order, huh? Like the band. And we'll set the order, let's see, order date. We'll set that equal to, oops, set that equal to what? Datetime.now. Fine. And set the required date equal to datetime.now. And then we'll add 3 days to it. Let's see, close that off. That's nice, IntelliSense. Okay, so we have a new order object. Let's add that to the customer's collection of orders. Cool. And then we'll update, we'll submit our changes. And then I'm going to call our refresh grids to show the changes. Okay, so before I run this, I want to, let's see, since we're going to replace some of the pre-generated code with stored procedures, how do we know that's actually working? I mean, the app will work, and you can trust me, but I prefer to use a SQL profiler. So let's bring that up. Now, if you haven't used a SQL Server profile before, I'm going to show you how to set it up to get some basic information so you can see what's going on. It's a really useful tool when using Link. So I'll connect to the database on my box, and I'll choose all these defaults here. But under the event selection, this is too much information. Let's just turn all that off. Now turn on Show All Events. The one that we want that I found gave me the best information was SP Statement Completed. And the column I want from it, well, it's way down here, SP Statement Completed. There's a lot of data you can get. The one I want is way over here under Text. There we go, the text data. And that's pretty much it. So we'll run it. Now when I switch back to my code and hit F5, we haven't done any updating code yet, but we just filled in these two bits of information with two select statements. If I switch back, there you go. There are two select statements that we ran against the database, one to populate for the customer and the other to get the order IDs. So now, keep these two in mind. When I press the update and insert, it's going to change this name here and the phone number and add a new line there. Okay, cool. So that just did it. If we switch back to the profiler, you can see that after these two select statements, there's our insert statement where we added the new orders table. Now, when you add a new order, it's going to create a new order ID, and it has to return that new order object. And that's what this scope identity is for. We're going to be writing that same code a little bit later when we write our own custom stored procedure. And then here's the update statement. Now, notice the update statement is pretty clever. It's only updating the name and the phone number. It's smart enough to know, because I modified this table to use a version tag, it didn't need to pass in every variable and say only update if these things don't change. So it's a pretty clever piece of code there. Now our goal now is to replace this chunk of code here with stored procedures. But one other thing I wanted to show you while this is up, let's modify. Let me stop this. I'm going to force it to break just to exercise some of our logic. And part of our regular expression will break if that starts with if it does not start with a digit between 2 through 10. Apparently that is, there are no area codes in the U.S. that start with number 1. Let's see if our regular expression catches that. Update. And sure enough, it did. So because I'm not catching the expression, exception, that's why we had this breakpoint here. So let's stop that. And you'll notice back over here in the profiler, it did not make any modifications to the database. So our business logic is still there. Okay, so now let's change this to use stored procedures. So we'll leave the profiler running. In fact, I'll clear it. Just remember what those guys look like. So I'll clear it, and let's close these windows and go back to the Northwind DBML. Now, what we want to do is throw in an insert stored procedure and an update stored procedure. Insert for orders and update for the customer table. And that would go right here. In a previous Link video, I discussed how to use stored procs, but not how to write custom insert and update, which we're going to do right now. So we'll start with insert order. Now I have a stub here because I didn't think you wanted to see me type all this, but I am going to write the rest of the query. Now I'm going to use a little bit of VI. For those of you that are used to the old school text editor called VI, there is a nice little tool called VIEMU, which is embedded inside of Visual Studio. I like to use it. And if you're a VI fan, you want to use it. If I hit colon VER at the bottom, it will show you a hyperlink or the URL to VIEMU. And these guys are a Visual Studio partner, and I've been really happy with this. In fact, you're going to see me do some things you can't normally do. So I'm going to mark these lines of code, yank it to the buffer, and paste it down below. I'm going to do some magic here. I'm going to record a macro that will allow me to go to the end of the line, find backwards the space, and then delete up to the comma, and then move to the next line. I'll stop the macro and play the macro back with at q, and then at. It just keeps replaying the same macro all the way to the bottom. Now this line gives me a bit of trouble since there's no comma in it. So that's pretty cool. That's the first part of the macro. Now what we want to do is pretty much join a bunch of these lines, because this will form our statement. Remember, we are doing the insert order, so I need two more lines. So I'm going to yank the next two lines to make a copy. And for lines 19 through 20, I'm going to search for all the at signs and replace them with nothing. And there we go. So I now have insert into DBO order. And then at the end, I'll stick a parentheses, insert values, and at the end, put a parentheses. And if this worked, I can simply save it. Perfect. Compiled. I love VI. Cool. So now we have our insert order statement. Let's do the same for update customer. Same concept. Let me. This one's a little bit more complicated. We have some extra columns to deal with. So I'll yank that to the buffer. Go to the bottom of the file. Paste it in. In fact, I can use that same macro I recorded for the earlier one. Strip all that out. And let's see. Now I want to, because this is an update, I want to stick in something like the customer ID equals the @ customer ID. So we need another macro here to take the customer ID and get rid of the @, stick it in front, and put on a pair of equals. So let's record another one. Yank that to the word, go to beginning, paste it, add an equal sign, escape, go to the next line, stop the macro, and play it back. Cool. Okay, so this becomes our, what are we doing here? We're doing update. So the update statement looks like update DBO customers set, and then all that. Now, here's where we use those other columns. We only want to do it where the customer, let's get this right, the customer ID equals the original, if I want IntelliSense, original customer ID, and where the version equals the @version timestamp. So this way, we're only going to make changes here if the version number matches. This is important. We're basically doing optimistic concurrency here, and I had to add the version timestamp to make this work, which wasn't too hard. I went into the table statement for customers. Customers, and did open table definition, and then scroll to the bottom, and I simply added the version timestamp. And if you do that to your default Northwind database, you'll have one that works with this. So we have our two stored procedures. Let's close them down. Now to add them, so we can use them from our ORM model, let's drag them over, insert order, and update customer. Now to hook them up, let's first go to order. And we want to use this insert order for right here where it says insert. Instead of using the runtime, let's change it to use our custom insert stored procedure called insert order. And it does a pretty good job matching up based on case insensitivity. It matches up all the parameters, which is cool. So that one's good. Now let's do the same thing for our customer table for update. We want to call the update customer stored procedure right there. And this one's a little bit trickier because we have things like the version, which looks right, and the original customer ID. We want to map that to the customer ID for the current one, actually. Customer ID original. There we go. And that should be good to go. Now, here's the key. We only changed the model. We haven't changed any code. I should be able to press F5 and have everything just work. Well, the select statement's going to work. The update won't because I'm updating to the same thing. This is exactly why. In fact, let me run it. Let me go back. Show you a little bug, and not really a bug, but a behavior I didn't expect. If I hit update and insert, it already says Emily Haynes, so that's not going to change. But notice, all right, fine. Let me fix that. I forgot to put that back. Let's make it valid. Replace this with a 5. Run it. Let me clear the profile. And hit update insert. So notice it inserted this record, but it did not need to do the update. In fact, if you look back at the profile, you'll see the insert right there, which, by the way, check it out. It's using our stored procedure. That's the code that we wrote, and this is the return value. But notice the update didn't happen. Well, that's because the update did not change the actual value. So honestly, it took me about 10 minutes, more than that, probably an hour to figure out what was going on. It was driving me nuts. And I realized that it's smarter than I expected. It did not need to do the update. So for fun, I copied these lines of code. And I just changed the name to something else. Okay. And then let's get these two lines of code. Copy them, paste them here. Now it's going to do the update. See, if I hit just update, it changes that, and the profiler calls the update. Now when I hit the big one, update and insert, it can change it back. We get a new row, and the profiler shows everything. We're executing our insert into the orders table stored procedure and our update customers table. So there you go. I mean, you can see the beauty of this is that we did not have to change any of the underlying code, including our logic, which I accidentally hit, but which is good to illustrate anyway. But we were able to make the changes to having our database use stored procedures without changing any of our code, which is great. It's kind of the whole point of this, isn't it? That we have a model that separates us from the actual implementation of the system. I hope you learned something from this, and tune in for part 9.